IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
Hope you had a great Christmas. Great meaning overall. I'm sure there were some moments.
I'm sure there were. There were for us as well. But we did it. We celebrated the birth of our Savior and the wonderful time of collecting people and spending time with those that we love, and also going a little bit crazy.
Realizing what you forgot and who you missed. And sort of that, yeah, I think understandable feeling like, whew, glad that's over for another year.
Yeah, wow.
But it isn't really over. Most of you are probably getting this on the 27th or so, and it's a big week coming up on the new year, and we just want you to know we're with you and we're all doing the best we can. I think it's interesting to start thinking about the new year, and we are going to talk a little about 2026, but I think we need to finish out the month, first of all, and you know, this is the month on how to live the second half socially, and the last of the 4 weeks, the first one was how to our relationship with our family, then our friends, then last week with ourselves, and this week, our relationship with God. And I think, Linda, we got to jump right in here at the beginning so no one tunes out. I mean, we're so aware that when it comes to matters of religion and the spirit, there's so much variety and can be controversy and can be divisions and so on. And we want to approach this today with the broadest possible, most inclusive lens, and essentially say, and again, this still may not appeal to everyone, but just for what it's worth, in our experience, everyone has some connection or some sense of liaison or potential linkage with something greater than themselves. And obviously, if you're a religious person, whatever your faith is, you define that in terms of God or Allah or whoever you worship, Christ in the case of Christians. But we find in our travels and so on that even people who, if they have to fill in a form, they'll maybe mark atheist or whatever, but they will also say, well, I was out in nature today and I felt connected to the universe, or I felt linked to something much vaster than I am, and I think that qualifies as a spiritual experience. So if we want to say relationship with God, and if you want to interpret that as relationship with the universe, with nature, it's not the same. I was about to say it's all the same. It's not the same, but it is all similar in that what we're looking for is to go beyond
the
ourselves.
Connection, something beyond ourselves. I do have to say that we spent most of our speaking years speaking to people who are not of our religion.
In many cases, not Christian.
That's what I'm saying. Not of our religion or not even Christian. But I have to say that I have learned so much from being with them because they are amazing people.
Particularly in your case, Muslims.
Yes, I love Muslims. Oh, they get such a bad rap, just like Mormons get a bad rap.
Yeah.
And Muslims
people
get
concentrate
bad.
On the difficult
there
parts.
There are some bad guys in that are Muslims, but there are, you know, in every religion, everywhere.
Well, and if you quote the wrong verse from the Quran, it sounds like it's nothing but jihad, you know. But but people say that about Christians when the Crusades or whatever. I mean, you can always find things to criticize. But when you talk to a people and you love them and you feel connected to them, then it's easy to get past those things.
About a month ago, we probably talked about this a lot on the show. I don't remember how much, but we were in Morocco and four different beautiful cities and with so many interesting people. But I love the Muslim religion. Five times a day, no matter where you are, if you're exploring a Kasbah somewhere or an old museum or an old home or wherever it is, or if you're with a taxi
You're
driver,
in the souk, you're in the
even a
market.
souk, over the loudspeakers comes the call to prayer five times a
I will
day,
say the call to
day and night.
prayer in terms of an audible was not great in Morocco. It sounds really harsh and sort of loud. Some Muslim countries, it's almost like music, the call to
Well,
prayer.
but they understand
No, they
what
do.
they're
Yeah,
saying. We
sure.
can't understand. It just sounds funny to us. And you know, the first time we had a taxi driver who had to stop the taxi and get his prayer rug out by the side of the road and pray. That was during our travels in the past. I just thought, wow, this is a religion that is really amazing, and people are dedicated to it. I mean, part of it is culture, sure, but they do have a deep feeling for God.
Yeah, well, and back to the point of inclusivity. I mean, again, I'm sure there are people who would listen to this right now and say, well, it's all nonsense. It's in the chemicals of your brain and those feelings of awe or connectedness or the vastness of the universe and being a part of it and so on. That's just all chemicals in your brain. But I don't think there's many. I think most of us acknowledge this. And that's why I like the word spiritual. Spiritual is a great word because it's usually not divisive because we all have our ways of feeling connected to something greater than ourselves. And you know, we've done little polls and we've read polls that people much better than us have done. You know, where do you feel the divine? Where do you feel this bigger than me connection? And the answers are predictable. I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, a very high percentage say when I'm in nature, when I'm alone in nature, when I'm out in a still place with they may say God's creation or with the natural elements of the earth. And of course, many say in church or when I'm reading the scriptures or when I'm praying. And some will say, well, just when I'm right with myself, when I feel, you know, self-connected, I also feel this divine connection. So there's all these ways, but for those of us who are Christian, I think Easter and Christmas become you know, they're wonderful holidays on so many levels, and I pretty much love everything about Christmas, but the connection, you know, the awe that comes in thinking about Jesus, and something about it, something about the season, something about walking through a crowded mall with a lot of people shopping or whatever, but hearing Christmas music. And I mean, there is something about December and Christmas that sort of magnifies this connection we're talking about. And you may only feel it in moments, in little glances, in little shimmers, but it's there, it's in the air.
It's really amazing. I find it so inspiring to be in cathedrals, for example. We just were in the Cathedral of the Madeleine night before last, or recently, and they do a beautiful concert during the season
Here in Salt Lake City,
in Salt Lake
the biggest
City.
Catholic
Oh, it's just
church, and
so
it's a
gorgeous.
lovely cathedral.
And the singers with children and high voices and beauty of the surroundings, all the paint, the blues, the aquas, it is just so wonderful. And we were just talking with some friends that have just recently been to the Cathedral of the Family. I can't say it in Spanish, but
Familia, yeah.
it is beyond belief.
Gaudi's
Gaudi's
in
creation.
Barcelona.
Barcelona. It's been being worked on for 100 years, and it's still not finished, but it looks like a melted ice cream cone on the outside. You just think, what? But you go inside and wow, do you feel the spirit of God in there? It is amazing.
And what happens to you, and I know we're not explaining this perfectly, but I just have a feeling most of you get what we're talking about when we say this connection to something bigger. And to many of you, that's a very specific relationship with Christ and with God. But It's just what happens is when you have that feeling, whether it dwells with you for a whole day, which is wonderful and bless us if we could have more days like that, or whether it's this fleeting thing where just at the right time you notice the words of a carol that you've never noticed before and it just hits you, the beauty of it, or whatever. That happened to me the other day with Good King Wenceslas, of all things. But whether it's a fleeting thing or a lasting spirit, I think we would all agree what happens is that it helps us to love more. It goes with feelings of love. That's the thing that makes it so beautiful and so interesting.
We have five missionaries out in the mission field for our five grandsons right now. We had two granddaughters that just came back, but my letter to them this week is going to be: go out there and find Jesus in every face. Find the light. If you can't find the light, make them smile.
Look
As
for the
soon as they
light.
smile, you'll see the light of Christ. You will see the light of God, and it's in every
They
person.
may call it something different, but it's there, and it's like the greeting. The one reason we love to be in India is because the common greeting is not hello or aloha, or there's a
Right.
lot of great greetings, but it's namaste. And some say namaste, and some say namaste, but it basically means I see the divine spark in you.
I love
And talk
that.
about a greeting, because if you're saying that in meaning, I don't think most people do. It's like hello or goodbye, but if you do see that, if you can look in someone's eyes, that's where the joy is.
If you're actually in India, they put their hands together in front of their
A
face
little
and kind of
bow.
bow. Then that helps. I see the divine spirit in you. That is so beautiful. If we could just see the spirit in people that we meet, and even kind of disagreeable people. There's always a few that pop up during the Christmas season who are ornery or, angry about something. But that's just a passing thing. Most people have so much good in them because they have God in them.
And we know this ties in pretty closely to our podcast last week on relationship with self, because the same things, the slowing down, the sort of thinking, taking a breath, observing, pausing for a moment, that not only gets you in touch with yourself, it also gets you in touch with this greater thing, which we've spent the whole first half of the show being really expansive and really broad about it, that it can be anything from the universe to whatever you call it. But in the second half of the show, after we take a little break, and you'll forgive us for this even if you're not a Christian who is listening, because it is Christmas this week and we've just experienced it, and we're going to be much more specific about the relationship with Jesus and how incredibly powerful that can be, and how it's accessible to everyone. It's not something you get a degree for or have to graduate from seminary.
Right, exactly. Everyone has access to it. I just wish more people knew that. But during the Christmas season, when we get so hassled and so, there's so much to do, sometimes we forget to really look into the faces of the God that is in people that we're looking at, because there are so many, everyone has that spirit, that light.
And are you thinking now, just from what you just said, you almost quoted it, the line from Les Miserables, to love another person
Is
is
to
to see
see
the
the
face
face
of
of
God.
God. That's right. It's so true.
Now we're both choked up. So we'll take a little break and we'll come back and be more specific on Christmas and on Jesus and our. Everyone has their own relationship. No one has the same as someone else. So we're not going to try to give you any formulas, but it's a good thing to talk about right now in the aftermath of Christmas and in the run-up to the new year.
Right, so hang on, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. We're talking about something that's precious to us and probably most of you who are listening. It is so important to feel that we are part of God, part of God's kingdom and so on. You know, when I was a young mother, I didn't fly on the plane very often. I didn't fly very often, but once in a while I'd take a baby and go somewhere. In fact, I think it was when we went to Boston for the first time. We were in the airport and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I have been sitting in my house all this time with this baby, and I had no idea that this world was out here, and we were going through masses of people, and I thought, oh, ooh, these people are like, ooh, they're kind of evil people because they don't
believe
what I
believe. You didn't think that. I can't.
Evil is not a good word, but they don't believe what I believe, so I feel kind of foreign in this group. I clearly remember that, and I think evil is certainly not the word, but I just felt like I am just, yeah. I'm kind of lonely here because
you felt isolated rather than a part of everything
in the world. And oh my goodness, I've come so far since then. Oh my gosh, the statement we all know about be in the world but not of the world means really both things: be in the world but not of the world. It is such a powerful statement.
And you know, Linda, I think the perfect way to lead into this last half of this show is to, I just want to tell you what happened to us this past week, because we had three evenings in a row that were exceptional, and we didn't plan any of them. There were things that came up, and we had other plans, and we shifted in some cases. One, and I'm just going to go through the three of them and real fast, and then we're going to go back and dwell on why these were so important to us and how they're connected to each other. The first of the three nights, consecutive nights that I'm talking about, we went to a wedding reception for some good friends of ours from England. And it was like the best wedding reception I've ever been to, because it wasn't this typical one where you stand in line and talk to people and sometimes get a little bored, if we're honest. It was a party, and there were bands, and there were food stations, and there was clotted cream and scones because it was English, and everything else you can imagine, and things were whirling around, but it was joyful because so close to Christmas. And I swear I got out, I haven't danced like that in a number of years.
But he got out there and danced.
I might post that on how to live the second half on HTL second half on Instagram. I think I will, because you took a movie. I've got six granddaughters. They're all gorgeous around me, and I'm this old guy, and I'm feeling the music.
You might lose a lot of listeners.
Well, we'll come back to that. But anyway, that was the first night. The next night, we'd had one thing we were going to do that didn't pan out, and then our daughter called and said, well, I've got these two extra tickets for the Christmas carols at the Cathedral of the Madeleine. So we went with her, and there was such a just singing those words and focusing on words we hadn't seen before, and singing it with a really varied group of people from a lot of different walks of life and demographics, was just something really, really powerful.
It was so fun because we sang to this gorgeous choir would sing, and of course it just ringing through that beautiful cave there. And
yeah, the acoustics of the
acoustics
cathedral
was beautiful,
so amazing.
But,
the organ
but then,
in the back.
But then we got to sing one of the verses.
Yes.
And then the men sang one verse, the women sang one verse, then the choir sang again. It was so
we'll come back to that one too. But then the third night, again, the third serendipitous night in a row where we ended up doing something not what we'd planned, was when we had a chance to, you know, get involved and go to a play that's about C.S. Lewis, who is, as all of you listeners, longtime listeners know, is our favorite Christian author, maybe our favorite author, period. And a friend of ours, a guy named James Connolly, a really interesting guy, maybe one of the world's foremost experts on C.S. Lewis, has written this musical play called
Starbright.
No, the The star, anyway, the wondrous star. What was the title?
Star of Wonder.
Star of Wonder.
That was
Thank
it.
you.
Yeah.
And we'd seen it before. He keeps perfecting it a little every year, but it's basically about C.S. Lewis, long before he even became a Christian, when he was in the war in World War I, and it's him with his friends on the front lines, the trenches in France, and it's the story of that night when
I think it was World War II.
World War I. And
Oh, that's right. C.S.
it's the
Lewis
story
singing.
of that night
Yeah.
when people started singing and the Germans across the trench started singing and they brought candles. They met in the middle and sang Christmas
Sang
Carol
Silent
together
Night.
and then went back to their trenches and started fighting again the next
Because
day.
the Silent Night is German. It was by a
Yeah,
German guy. So it was
yeah.
really meaningful.
And so
It
that
was
was just a
so
beauty. So
beautiful.
I'm just saying in 3 straight nights that extraordinary wedding reception, then the cathedral, and then the C.S. Lewis play, none of which we'd planned, and none of which are a particular part of our usual structure or our church's approach to things, but somehow the three of them together just really made that connection for us and made Christmas so much more beautiful.
I loved every one of those. And interestingly, C.S. Lewis was an atheist at that time.
Yeah.
And he was so
He didn't go
angry.
across to
He was
sing.
so angry that the guys were saying, those are people on the other side. They're people too.
No, they're the enemy.
They are the enemy. Don't you dare go over there and all that stuff. And then think about what he became, the greatest Christian writer of all time, probably.
So as we've turned our focus to Jesus, there's just something about what I always think about at Christmas time is. And this is right at the heart, I think, of a relationship with God. Because you can't, I mean, prayer obviously is the key because you're talking to God and you're praying through Jesus Christ and you're reading scriptures of his life and hearing his words and so on. But there's something about at Christmas time being able to think about, I love this word, and it's a word we don't used as often as we should in our own lives or in our church, but the condescension of God, that's such a powerful word. The idea, the sort of almost bizarre idea that the creator of the universe made this step or took the almost unaccountable and unheard of coming as a baby, of coming as a helpless baby,
Right.
of taking on him a fallible human, half-human body, and living in a terribly poor, wretchedly poor part of the world, and walking around in dusty sandals on dusty roads, and one at a time helping people. And this is the creator of the universe.
It's
This is
unbelievable.
God.
It's
And that
unbelievable.
word condescension, coming down and being with us, is just always, I think it hits us the hardest at Christmas time because there's the babe. And I'm even going to go one step further. You're probably going to hit me for this, honey, but
Probably.
even one more little thing. We came back on that third night after seeing the C.S. Lewis thing. And we just turned on, I'm sorry to admit this, but we were just trying to relax a little and we turned on Netflix. And here's this show. I mean, you got to know the background, but all the time we were in
Think
England,
you're gonna give them some sleazy. Oh no, gosh.
all the time in England, there this funny, his name's Roland Atkinson, but he's Mr. Bean. And in England, he was just a major comedic figure. And some of you may have seen the
Oh, if
Mr.
you've
Bean
ever
movie,
seen Mr.
but
Bean,
his expressions and
we
his
just
slapstick. And so it's about this poor guy that said his luck's end and his family's left him and everything, but someone leaves a baby in a basket on his doorstep, and he ends up with a baby, and he's trying to figure out how to get it to social services. But in the meantime, a lot of things happen. But the ending, it's Christmas, and he's taking care of this beautiful penthouse, and the people who are supposed to come, the family, changes their plans, and so no one's there. But he's got a couple of little homeless friends he's met, and he's got the guy who's getting kicked out of the apartment below him, and somehow they all just come together and they eat the feast that was prepared for this rich family, and they're just loving this Christmas spirit. And then they realize they don't know where the baby is. They can't find him, and they're all looking all over the apartment, and someone yells, "Here he is!" And they go in this room where the nativity, this big nativity, life size, is all set up as the rich decoration in this palatial house.
But there's a
And
lot of hay there
there's
in
hay, and there's a
the
manger, and the baby
He's
is
in the manger.
the baby is crawled up and is laying there in the manger, sort of cooing. And then it show, and then you see that this is, some of them have crowns on their head, and they have this little tableau, and it looks like the manger scene with just all these ordinary people that had happened to be there for dinner. And the whole message, after all the laughing, that because Mr. Bean is so funny, is that it is that baby that brings this together.
Really
It's
put
the
it together.
baby.
Oh my gosh, there were so many funny one-liners. He didn't know how old the baby was, or he the whole finding diapers and a pacifier and all that was so funny. But then these two young mothers came by and said, "Oh, what a sweet baby. How old is it?" And he's like,
No, he's been first. He's walking the baby in the park, in Hyde Park,
yes.
and these three young moms are like, "Oh, what a sweet baby."
And how old is the
No,
baby?
first he says, "What's his name?" And so Mr. Bean's like confused for a minute, and then he says, "Jesus." And they're like, "Oh, how sweet, his name is Jesus. How old is he?" And then you
He says 3 months. He didn't have any idea how old this baby was. And then he said, they looked at him and said, "Wow, he is really big for 3 months." And then his response is,
Mr. Bean says, "Oh, you should see his mother." So
"This is goofy."
it's a goofy,
This is, but
show,
it's
but I
so
just
sweet.
thought the
It
way
was
it
really
ended
so
with
sweet.
that. And so we left even the movie, even the goofy thing on Netflix, but also the cathedral and the C.S. Lewis play, and that sort of really wonderfully lively, beautiful relationship reception. I mean, Christmas is a spirit, and it overtakes everything if you let it. And I guess that's what we're going to challenge you to do now, with Christmas over. And you're approaching 2026. Maybe now is the time to take a deep breath and to get in touch not only with yourself, but with God in whatever form you worship, and to sort of think about 2026 from the standpoint of, how can I feel more of what I hopefully have felt glimpses of during these holidays? How can I carry it into next year? What am I going to do as the, I mean, again, I'm not talking about the typical New Year's resolution. I'm talking about, can we improve our relationships in 2026? Wouldn't that be something to have whatever you call them, whether they're New Year's resolutions or whatever, but resolutions about relationships?
I just think now is the time when we all think sometimes, oh, I just always make these resolutions and I don't do them. But I don't think you need a whole big list, but there are some that are more important than others. And this one I think is so important to us, and I think so many of you. It really is important to feel that you have a relationship with God, with a higher being, and that Jesus is the light of the world for us. And I think for most of you who are listening, it's the most marvelous experience that any of us can ever have, to have that realization that the light that he brought is all about life and love.
And just to close, for especially for those of you who are listening to Ayers on the Road as a part of this course, that we call How to Live the Second Half of Life, but really for all of us, this is kind of a fortuitous or serendipitous segue, because next month, the month of January, And we'll be coming to you a large part of the month from Hawaii rather than here. But it's the one where we're focusing on the whole idea of how to live the second half spiritually. And I hope we've done enough on this show to convince you that that's not going to be a bunch of religion, quote unquote. It's going to be thinking about how to live the inner part of our lives in the second half. And boy, that is a big shift from how most of us lived the inner part of our lives in the first half of our lives. That's the biggest shift of all, I think, is how to live in a more spiritual, not religious, but although it could be very much that, but how to live that inner life in a little better way, a little different way than we did in the first half.
So, Happy New Year. We're going to have a lot to talk about next year, but thank you so much for joining us. We do meet people once in a while that actually listen to ours on the road, and we met one last week. We're so delighted to meet anybody who will go through all that torture. And we love being with you. We love what this does for us to make us think and enjoy life together. So thank you so much and Happy New Year.
And we'll see you next year on IRS on the Road.
Bye-bye.